many people, forget about the fights, and so on and so forth. There's a magid on that. Not to misuse the power of forgetfulness, but there's one, an unknown tool of forgetfulness, that it's the one who gives shiurims a dream. So he could re-give. Okay, in any case, there's a question that many of the Gedolei HaMachshava, especially of the last century or so, develop in this forum, and that is something we touched upon a little bit, I think, in a previous year, as to how come there's no focus of tshuva, per se, on Rosh Hashanah. It's certainly it's a sub-theme, in the Avinu Malkeinu, there's a Hachzireinu B'Shuva Shleim Lefanecha, and in the Nesana Tokif, which is a relatively late addition to the Machzor, we speak about a Tshuva Tefillah, it's Dalkam Avirnus Ra'agzera. But if you take out all the Piyutim and all the Irans of the Rosh Hashanah Davening and just stick to the basic text of the Davening, so there isn't, and maybe even not at all. I would have to recheck it with a fine-tooth comb, but there's very, very little, if nothing at all, about Tshuva. The themes are Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, the fact that Hashem remembers us, Latova, hopefully, and judges the whole world, that certainly is there in terms of the Zechronos, Zayom Chilos Masecha, and Bo Yipokeid Kol Beruecha, in the Baruch of Zechronos and Musaf, the idea of divine revelation, which is the primary theme of Shofaros, and this, of course, leads to an immense, a question as to why it is that the ushering in of that Seres Yimei Tshuva itself does not contain Tshuva as its primary theme. So many different approaches are given, and as time permits, I wanted to mention one, two, perhaps three, as the clock keeps ticking. The first approach I wanted to mention, which I actually learned the last, but I think it's in a very direct answer, which is was given by Rabbi Soloveitchik. I'm not sure if he was addressing this particular question, but his approach to a certain theme of Rosh Hashanah does answer this question as well. I saw it in the Sefer called Harei Kedem, which is Rabbi Michal Shirkin collecting various writings and or recorded shiurim, shall we say, of Rabbi Soloveitchik. And he, I believe, tied it in, if not others tie in this thematically to Gemara and Kiddushin, that has the following very curious statement, that someone who gives kiddushin to a woman, al menas shani tzaddik, afilu rasha kol yamav hareza mikudeshes. Theoretically speaking, when the transaction, so to speak, to be technical for a moment, of marriage takes place, by the giving over something of value from husband to wife in order to create the marriage bond, so the we do it unconditionally. Why should we do it conditionally? There's no reason to. But theoretically, just as any other transaction can be, not any other, but many transactions could be done either unconditionally or conditionally, so too the Kiddushin transaction can be done conditionally or unconditionally. Doesn't mean, this is what the opening shiur of Kiddushin in many, many yeshivos, doesn't mean that when a person is engaging in the marriage transaction, it's the same as buying a container of milk. But it's a transaction in the sense that just like buying a container of milk, it transfers ownership from one to the other, so too, before the Kiddushin took place, there is no marriage. After Kiddushin takes place, there is a marriage. So in that sense, it's a transaction. It's not an acquisition, but it's a transaction. So as such, much like other transactions as well, can be subject to conditions. So the Gemara has all sorts of halachos about what conditions have to be met in order for the condition to be binding. And obviously, the rule one is that the condition has to be fulfilled in order for the marriage to take place. So the Gemara has two complementary statements. One that says that if a person is a Rosh his whole life and gives Kiddushin al menas on condition that I'm a tzaddik, so we treat the woman at least as, the way the Rishonim elaborated, at least as Safik Mekudeshes, that she's out of doubt she's married. And the other way too, that if the person is known to be the Gadol Hador, is the greatest, the righteous one of the generation, and he marries a woman, al menas shani rosh gomer, that I'm wicked, so she's also Safik Mekudeshes as well. So the Gemara explains how could that be, but it's not a fulfillment condition. So concerning the first example, the Gemara says that Shema hir her tshuva belibo. Because even if the person was Al Kaponovich, and he was a murderer and a liar and a cheat and didn't even go to shul on Yom Kippur, but nonetheless, but maybe right before the giving of the Kiddushin, hear her tshuva b'libo. He had thoughts of tshuva. And therefore, the condition was fulfilled. So the Rishonim point out, it's not as if she's out of certainty mekudeshes, because maybe he didn't do tshuva. It's a very good possibility he didn't. But since there's a good possibility he did, we treat her as out of doubt mekudeshes, and therefore to break that marriage you'd need a get. In order to remain married, you'd have to give another set of Kiddushin. And then the other way, about the Gadol Hador, the greatest tzaddik of the generation who marries, were worried that maybe Shema hirhurei avodah zara b'libo, that maybe he denied God at the second that he's giving the kedushin, and therefore he becomes a rasha. So the Minchas Chinuch, I believe, is the first one to raise the question, and that is that the Gemara doesn't seem to make any sense, because instant tshuva, there's a shir tonight, Matzio Salman and Rasha Weiss, and the road to tshuva, but the road to tshuva is not just think tshuva, and then you have it made. That's, the Rambam elaborates, as the Rav has been presenting over the last few weeks, that there are different steps to tshuva. There's vidui, confession, and charata, regret over the past, and kabbalah la'asid. Where did all this take place in one millisecond? And even if it did theoretically, it has to be verbalized. How could you call this person a baal tshuva? Just because hear her tshuva b'libo. So the other way is easier to understand, because that's the halacha, that if you are makabel of avodah zarah in your mind, if you deny God in your mind with certainty, so that's a violation of avodah zarah. But to say just because you thought about tshuva that converts you from a rush into a tzaddik. So Reb Soloveitchik developed the idea that we speak about tshuva being mechaper, that it atones for sin. We speak about tshuva being metaher, that as the Rav mentioned Friday night, that in addition to just forgiving, but it also re-establishes the Ratzon Hashem. That, I think that's the phrase the Rav used, Ray Welcher, from Rabbeinu Yonah, that it establishes a divine favor, re-establishes a divine favor, because you could have someone who's a Baal Tshuva, and Hashem's not going to punish him for any of his averos, but he's not in the inner circle anymore. The love, intense love relationship was a distance as a result of chait, and wasn't totally completed unless there's a very intense tshuva that's done. To some extent, it might be a difference between tshuva mi'ava, tshuva mi'ira. Tshuva is done out of love, and tshuva is done out of fear. One has the greater power to reestablish a state of tahara, and also Yom Kippur is also very conducive to reestablish the state of tahara. As we say, Ki v'yom hazeh yichaper lechem l'tahar eschem. So there's kapara, which is protection or removal of punishment, and then there's tahara, which is reestablished in the original state of closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then there's a third component of tshuva, which is really, shall we say, the that which precedes both of those. And that's what the Rav called, based on this Gemara, basically, hear her tshuva. There's such a halachic category called hear her tshuva, thinking about tshuva. It's just like, you know, some would say, I'm thinking about a business venture, or I'm thinking about making another wing on my house. Nothing happened yet. Didn't even consult the architect. Didn't, if you, let's say, taking a vacation, you didn't even book the flight yet. Thinking about it. So that the halacha also recognizes as a positive step in the right direction, even though the person has not yet achieved kapara, nor has they achieved tahara. They're thinking about what that they have to do tshuva, that it's important. Hear her tshuva b'libo. That's the way Rabbi Soloveitchik understood the Gemara. The Minchas Chinuch has a different interpretation of that Gemara, but we're going to stick to the Rabbi Soloveitchik's interpretation. So, I'm not sure if the Rav did this, or his brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, they march in the same direction. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's writings on this appear in his printed Sefer, on Sefer Amada, Perach Mata Aaron. Put out two svarim on the Rambam before his Petira. The goal was put out all 14, so maybe they'll slowly come out with the rest posthumously. So I'm not sure which one said following the Kuda, but it's in the Soloveitchik family, probably from all the same roots. That the same thing is true when we have witnesses on a very important transaction. So in Halacha, we don't allow a mobster to testify about the other mobster. They're pasul edus, that they've lost their credibility as a result of sin. Until they do tshuva, they're disqualified. So whenever you have Eidim, let's say on a divorce, it should never happen, but when you have to have Eidim on a divorce, so the practice is that the Beis Din, the Rosh Beis Din tells the Eidim, be mehar b'tshuva, think about tshuva before you sign. So you should be kosher l'Eidim in case you sinned in the past. As a help, you should take out a Yom Kippur mavzer and says, here, say to Vidui, I want to hear, and I want to hear some crying also, because it can't be just a statement. Just say, Bima Harab Tshuva. Some Rabbanim have a practice to do that for Kiddushin too. For your point witnesses for Kiddushin. I remember someone once asked me to sign a Ketuva, Rabbi Blumenkrantz actually. So I said, Bima Harab Tshuva. So I smiled. So I said, I didn't ask you to smile. I asked to Bima Harab Tshuva. Something like that. I'm approximating. That's because he wants to make sure that the document's valid. So how does that help? How does it help? So I believe it's rabbis and salvation in the plural both pointed out that that's a halachic concept called hear her b'tshuva, which accomplishes hasaras shame rasha. You're no longer considered evil in Hashem's eyes. Maybe you haven't achieved tara yet. Not maybe, you haven't. You haven't done tshuva yet. You haven't achieved kapara yet. But you're thinking about the fact that you have to change. That's something that's on the agenda. It's in the calendar. Now we'll say it's in the palm. You know. Do tshuva. I have to schedule tshuva into my schedule. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though you hardly did anything, you're interested in returning, so you no longer consider a rasha in my book. And that has nafkaminas. That's nafkaminas in halacha. The eidim are now kosher. If that's sincere. If the whole hearer of tshuva is fake, so then they don't become kosher. They haven't done tshuva yet, but it's enough to remove the label of rasha. The label of rasha is that which prevents the eidim from testifying. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik pointed out you could even have one without the other in the reverse direction. There's one day in the Gemara which we don't follow. It's interesting. We're paskening about how the Rabbanu Shalom runs this world. The Rambam paskens that we don't assume that Yom Kippur is effective without tshuva. There is an opinion that it is effective without tshuva. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik asked, this I remember from Rav Aaron. Did you mean to say that if you have a real Rasha, he passes through Yom Kippur, now he's kosher l'edus? Now he could testify? According to that opinion which we reject, it's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. After you pass through Yom Kippur, so he says Yom Kippur is mechaper without tshuva. So you mean he's kosher l'edus? So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, that's the reverse. You achieved kapara, it's a pardon. But you're still a Rasha. Of course, you didn't do tshuva, of course you're still a Rasha. So here, yeah, so what we're dealing with is the first category then. The switch, which we understand more. Here her tshuva removes the category of you being a Rasha, even though you don't have kapara yet. All of the punishments that are waiting in the wings for your averos are still there, whether in olam hazeh, olam habah, until you do tshuva, which leads to a kapara and hopefully ultimately to a tara. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Dov, suggested that that's the main focus of Rosh Hashanah. It's true, we have Chodesh El, which is, you know, well, as Rav Hanach Tel spoke about, you know, void in Kippur Rosh. You don't have to wait till the last minute. But the intense process of tshuva was ordained by the Torah and enhanced by Achachamim, so the Torah Shebaal Peh, being this gradual process. First you have, as the Rambam so beautifully elaborates, the shofar that blows, and Uru Yishein Mishinaschem, wake up! Mehara b'tshuva, wake up! Realize that you must change. And then you have the period of the Seres Mechuvah leaving up to Yom Kippur to actually change, and culminating by Yom Kippur, hopefully to not only lead to Kapara, but also to Tara. Not only to a removal of the punishment, but also to purification. This is one theme about why Tshuva is not stressed, because first you start with the basics. I'd like to get the article on it, but it was a Rabbi Dr. Levitz, who used to be a Rav in Long Island, and then he retired from the rabbinate, and he went into pastoral psychology, regular psychology. He gave a fascinating course in part of the, shall we say, the auxiliary smicha shiurim that we took in YU. Gave an article on how people change. It's interesting, you know, how do people change? I can't even change one nasty habit. How do you change? Tshuva is all about change. So basically, you know, took through the steps, and he showed us how it's very, this is written from a totally secular perspective. Very parallel to what all the Sifri Musar say on tshuva, because you can't just demand change, you have to have a program. So the first step of the program of change is you have to will it. If you're not committed to change, nothing's going to happen. All the viduyim and all the harata and all the kabbalah is not going to help. You have to be fully committed to change. So that to put it in a more modern perspective, that's hirhur tshuva. I must change. The stakes are high. Life is important. My relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is important. It's time to change. And that's, of course, the message of the shofar, one of the many messages, I should say. And that's one of the main foci, I think we say, right? One of the main points of focus of Rosh Hashanah. So I want to conclude as the hour reaches 10 after, which we must conclude by. Right? Is it fast? Slow? Regular? Good? one more minute. I always like to tie things into tefillah because I teach it every semester, so whenever you can get some points in tefillah. But I think what I'm about to present has some merit. It's somewhat creative, if you will. I'm not sure if it's correct, but food for thought. We have in the Kriya Shema three main themes. There's the theme of the first parsha, which is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. There's the theme of the second parsha, which is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. And there's the theme of the third parsha, which is Tzitzis. And Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The way the Mishnah Brachos puts it, you have the second parsha deals with all the mitzvahs, and the third parsha deals with one mitzvah. It's a little hard to understand. So what does that have to do with Kriya Shema? And why do we say it at night, when we're not Chayiv in Tzitzis? So the Maral Miprag, in his Sefer Nesivas Olam, in the Nesiv HaVoda on Tefillah, so just has a very, Lana Maral is a very hard to understand, at least from my perspective. Found this one very, very down to earth. And he pointed out, also speaks about, you know, a change as well. He said, in order to be a committed Jew, that's not enough just to do mitzvahs. Constantly stress that you have to sign the contract. You have to be committed. A committed Jew means not only an observant Jew, one who does actions, it means he's committed. It means he's fully committed to the Dvar Hashem. And that is a process that has to be awakened within the individual. That at some point in their life, sometimes it happens before Bar Mitzvah, usually it happens much later, 20s, 30s, 40s. A person realizes, hey, I might sin, I might fail, but I am committed totally to the package deal of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do. So that's the notion of Kabbalah Sol Malchus, first accepting Hashem as the king of the world, or the boss of the world, accepting his whole Torah, that's Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. But then, you got to do them. It's not just enough to be theoretically committed. You actually have to translate into action. And that, the Maral said, is symbolized by Tzitzis. Because Tzitzis is one of the few mitzvos, a few others as well. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and Sukkah, and Mikvah, encompasses the whole body. You wrap your whole body in a mitzvah object. So as such, that is a prototype of the idea of all of your limbs, and all of your thoughts, and all of your energies, and your emotions, being channeled actively into the performance of mitzvahs. Not just theoretically accepting, but actually translating into action.
But what happens about the woman? I mean, why was tzitzis picked? Because that's such a male-oriented mitzvah.
It could be, but as they all point out, you know, we always view man and woman as a corporate entity. So the Rabbanu Shlomo Chachmoso divided some mitzvahs for women, some mitzvahs for men. But all the mitzvahs are relevant to everyone on the schematic level. If you will, where do women get that concept? So Ravaya Kaplan suggests, I didn't see in a long time, that somehow women, their nature is such that they have that already. They don't need the tzitzis mitzvah. But they have other mitzvahs. You have to read his pamphlet. I can't believe words to his mouth. But they have other mitzvahs. Perhaps that's one of the reasons why mikvah, primarily, at least in the pre-Beis HaMikdash, post-Beis HaMikdash break, primarily applies to women, because that's also a mitzvah that encompasses the whole body. So you do have that concept. You're asking how come in the Kriya Shema it's the mitzvah that's chosen primarily for men. It happens to be that women are exempt from the whole Kriya Shema per se. It has its own dynamic. But maybe they don't need this oral declaration. They have it already. They have it intuitively. In any case, and I've violated my deadline, perhaps we could suggest, and this is a theme that happens a lot, that sometimes things that we do on a mini level the whole year, we elaborate on Dafka and the Yom Tovim in a more elaborate way. That the three themes of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, and Mitzvos L'maisa, doing them, are exactly the months of Chodesh Tishrei, where you Makabal Sol Malchus Shamayim and Rosh Hashanah. That's the first step. The Ribbono Shel Olam, you're the king. And we say it again and again and again and again and again. Yom Kippur, we focus on Kabbalah and Mitzvot. We want to change. We're not doing all those things that, or not doing all those things that we said we're not going to do yet. We didn't have an opportunity. We're in shul all day. But we're committed now to do everything, or to not do what we're not supposed to be doing. And then you have Sukkot, which is the most active of Yom Tovim that ever existed. Notwithstanding Pesach and all due respect to all the those who are cleaning the house, etc. But that's in the preparation. Sukkot, all the days of Sukkot, you're always running. You're running to the Sukkah, you're running to the longer davening. Many have the practice of Simchas Beis HaShoeiva, and then Hoshana Rabba, Hakafis, then Simchas Torah. It's a whirlwind of activity from the beginning to the end. And the Midrashim highlight this, how it's so full of mitzvot, so Klal Yisrael should have an opportunity to sin. So as we can perceive in these three Yom Tovim, a more elaborate translation of those three themes of the Kriya Shema into action before the new year begins.